Russian President Vladimir Putin announced the deployment of shorter-range nuclear weapons in Belarus earlier this year, in a move widely seen as a warning to the West for the stepping up of military support for Ukraine. Now, Belarusian President Alexander Lukashenko has hinted nuclear weapons are already in Belarus as Russia and Minsk sign a deal formalizing their deployment.
Yes, a decision was taken to build on what was said orally. We had to prepare storage sites and other things in Belarus. We did all this. This is why the relocation of nuclear warheads started.
Tactical nuclear weapons are designed for battlefield use with shorter range and lower yield compared to strategic missiles. Belarusian opposition leader Svetlana Tikhanovskaya says that while control remains with the Kremlin, there are concerns about this deployment.
The deployment of any kind of nuclear weapons in Belarus is not only a violation of international commitment, such as the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty and the Budapest Memorandum of 1994. It also violates our non-nuclear status under the Constitution and the will of the Belarusian people. It will make Belarusians hostages to Russian imperial ambitions. It's not too late, but time is running out. I ask our partners and allies to take firm steps to prevent the deployment of nuclear weapons in Belarus. I ask you to consider preventive sanctions on Russia and Lukashenko's regime. They must know that if the deployment happens, the dictators will face devastating consequences.
Amid concern about developments in Belarus, attention is also focused on the city of Bakhmut. The head of Russia's Wagner mercenary group, Yevgeny Prigozhin, says his forces have begun withdrawing from the city with a plan to hand over control to the Russian army by the 1st of June. He says his forces are prepared to return if the Russian regular army finds it difficult to manage the situation.
We are withdrawing units from Bakhmut today. Until June 1st, the main part will be relocated to rear camps. We are handing over military positions, ammunition, everything, including dry ration, to Russia's regular army.
The battle for Bakhmut has been the longest and bloodiest in this war. Mr. Prigozhin revealed this week that a staggering 20,000 of his fighters have lost their lives in this city. White House National Security Council spokesman John Kirby says that those numbers appear to be accurate.
That estimate largely tracks with what we briefed you not long ago, almost precisely. I would note that that was, a couple of weeks ago or so. So it's likely that in the days following us relaying that number, that they suffered additional casualties. And the main takeaway is that this offensive in Bakhmut has just come at a terribly high cost to Russia. And as I said, it's been a bit of a meat grinder.
On another front, Russia has accused Ukrainian militants of crossing into its border town in the Belgorod region to launch attacks, which prompted an evacuation. They alleged the group was armed with American-supplied weapons. Ukraine denies any involvement in the battle, blaming instead two Russian groups claiming to be volunteers fighting alongside Ukrainian forces in an uprising against President Putin's government. U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin says if U.S.-supplied weapons were used, it would violate the agreement they have with Ukraine, because this is not America's fight.
They're a country at war. It's an existential threat. They're fighting for their survival. I can't say with definitive accuracy right this minute to you whether that, and I saw the same videos, whether that's U.S.-supplied equipment or not, and what was the nature of the attack, who did what to whom. I can't say that with definitiveness right this minute. But I can say that we have asked the Ukrainians not to use U.S.-supplied equipment for direct attacks into Russia. Why is that? Because we don't want this is a Ukrainian war. It is not a war between the United States and Russia. It's not a war between NATO and Russia. This is a war between Ukraine and Russia, and we are supporting and supplying and help training and advising and assisting Ukraine. But it is not a direct conflict between the United States and Russia.
Secretary Austin also says he hopes that training for Ukrainian pilots on American-made F-16 fighter jets will begin in the coming weeks.
Last week, President Biden announced that the United States will support a joint effort with our allies and partners to train Ukrainian pilots on fourth-generation aircraft, including F-16s. Now, we hope this training will begin in the coming weeks. This will further strengthen and improve the capabilities of the Ukrainian Air Force in the long term, and it will complement our short-term and medium-term security agreements.
Meanwhile, away from the battlefield, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has delivered a surprise speech to graduates of Johns Hopkins University, urging them to embrace their opportunities and uphold democratic values. Speaking via live stream from Ukraine, he has emphasized the importance of seizing the moment and using whatever resources they have available to pursue their passions.
Every person eventually realizes that time is the most valuable resource on the planet, not oil or uranium, not lithium or anything else, but time. Time. The very flow of time convinces us of this. Some people realize this sooner, and these are the lucky ones. Others realize it too late when they lose someone or something. People cannot avoid it. This is just a matter of time.
Assam Al-Ghalib, SBS News.